The good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Isaiah, see, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. When I was a senior in high school at South Pasadena in Southern California, I was elected that year to serve the elevated position of Commissioner of Athletics. It was my task that year to make announcements at the assembly in the very large auditorium with some 1,000 students waiting for me to speak. I must admit that I was always quite nervous as I walked up to the podium to make my announcements of all those athletic games and contests that had taken place since the last assembly. Football games in season, basketball games, baseball, track, tennis. An experience that I always felt prepared me so very well to be an announcer, a proclaimer of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Being nervous was a part of being a preacher. And today I'm preaching in front of my pastor, who just told me that's the first time I ever saw you in a collar before, let alone dressed like a pastor. Now, you see, my task on those Friday mornings in 59 and 60, can you believe that? Whoa. Yes, prepared me to be a preacher of the gospel. I always felt that, in a sense, my job as a pastor was much like that of an announcer, telling what had happened in a particular play, and then making an analysis of what had taken place. For an announcer not only lets people know what's happening, but also includes those interpretations. Now, the image of an announcer of the kingdom of God is a good one. It's a biblical one. In fact, the scriptures for this second week of Advent focus on the importance of those who announce, proclaim the coming reign of God. To begin with, I share stories of two such announcers of the coming new age. The first is Elijah. Elijah was quite a character, colorful to be sure. Now, you might know that he was a prophet from the northern kingdom of Israel, and he did his work in the 9th century B.C. And he proclaimed his message, yes, with the words that he spoke, graphic words, but also through miracles and through healings. I'm sure you remember what took place on Mount Carmel. He found himself there in the fiery duel with the prophets of Baal. For all they tried, they were unable to light the fire. And yet Moses, Elijah, with the help of his Yahweh God, was able to light that sacrificial fire, even though it had been doused, you remember, with water. Elijah, the announcer, certainly had a flair for the dramatic that might even rival Dandy Don of Monday Night Football of years ago. In true Elijah fashion, when the torch of the prophetic ministry that was his was to be passed on to his successor, Elisha, we remember that the fiery chariot comes out of heaven, swoops up Elijah, and in a whirlwind takes him back into heaven. And yet Elijah's greatest days were not done. He hadn't, in a sense, retired yet. The Jewish tradition tells us that Elijah would be the harbinger, the announcer of the eschatological age to come. Pastor Jason already defined for us that word eschatological. In this sense, the common English means that when the Messiah would come, Elijah would precede him, making the announcement of his coming. We know the last book of the Bible is Malachi, the Old Testament Bible, that is. And we find these words concerning the announcer. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. Secondly, there is Isaiah, who we read about today as Paul read the words of Isaiah chapter 40, the celebrated chapter 40 of Isaiah. Now, these words were actually spoken by Isaiah some 400 years after Elijah, and they contain the words of what we would call 2nd Isaiah, written after 539, because it was in 539 that the Israelites were freed from their captivity in Babylon to return home to Israel. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. In grand and flowing lines, the prophet announces that the exile of the people in Babylon is over. Some 50 years before, the ancestors, mostly, of these Israelites were taken on a terrible journey up to Babylon. Fish hooks in their mouths, lines connecting them together. But the return journey would be a splendid one. Paul talked about the geography of that road. The high places would be brought low, the low places raised up, the rough places would be made a plain. It's as if, in these words, Isaiah was aware of Caltrans to come here in California. It's clear from the reading of the Gospel of Mark that the evangelist believed that John the Baptist came in the image of Elijah and with the message of the distinct echoes of Isaiah. Mark cites Isaiah 40, verse 3. See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. The time of spiritual awakening, Mark recognized, was near. God was ready to renew his ministry, his mission in the world. The gears of divine grace were again turning. The announcement was life-changing. Prepare you the way of the Lord. You see, Mark understood Jesus to be the promised Messiah and John to be the harbinger. And in truth, we know John did a very, very good job. He certainly influenced Jesus in a very strong way. In fact, all the Gospels begin with the story, not of Jesus, but rather they tell us about John. In fact, if you want to hear Jesus, you first of all have to hear John. In today's gospel, you hear the words, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ." And it began with the words of John. In the gospel of Luke, we find out that John the Baptist and Jesus are first cousins. And we have not one birth narrative, but we have two, beginning with John, leading then to Luke 2. Or is it Luke 3, isn't it? Yeah, Luke 3. And then John, in his gospel, starts off by talking about the preaching of Jesus. Not about the teaching of Jesus, but rather about the description of John's teaching. "Now there was a man sent from God whose name was John." In our reading from Mark's gospel, we're taken out into the wilderness where we find John, a leather belt around his waist. Not so different. I have one on today, and many of you might also. But how many of you eat locusts? Yeah. Wild honey, yes, but probably not locusts. And his message? He came proclaiming baptism as a mark of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. I love the Phillips translation. I think Pastor Jason has used that wonderful translation. And here he talks about John's repentance. John was proclaiming baptism as a mark of a complete change of heart and of the forgiveness of sins. We know that John spoke to the religious establishment, the culture, the soldiers, those who were of position, but he also talked to the common folks, like you and like me. He announces the advent of God, and he promises that it would bring, that it would have to bring, a change. And John always pointed to something, not to himself, but beyond himself to someone else, and that would be Jesus, his cousin, the promised Messiah. Now, when Jesus began preaching, it's so interesting that he must have sounded so much like John. Remember Herod Antipas? When he heard the words of Jesus, he said, "Oh no, John has come back from the grave. His message is the same one we had heard." Herod was afraid when he heard Jesus preaching. John's message was one of repentance, literally turning around one's life in preparation for the coming of Christ. And when Jesus came, his message was so much like John's. And so I think we can say that John's ministry was not unlike that of a sports announcer, even the commissioner of athletics, as he prepared the crowd for the big event. As you and I prepare for Christmas again this season, our thoughts, in truth, are about getting ready to receive the Christ into our life and into our world. And as we make preparation, I invite you to once again hear with an open heart the words of Scripture, those who have made announcements in so many ways of Christ and what he means to us. But think not just about those of Scripture, but think about people that you know, that you have read, people that have influenced your life, and enable them once again to help you prepare for the coming of Christ in all his richness into your life today. There are many good announcers for each one of us to hear. I found one just the other day, Maya Angelou. I bought this book when it was written. And as often happens, when we reread, a new light is offered to us. Maya Angelou, in a sense, has prepared so many of us in different ways to look at life in a different way. She talks about a friend of hers who's felt that her path in life was not what she wanted it to be. She needed a change. She needed a new way for her life to be more full and more complete. And she writes this, the friend writes this: "Each of us has the right and the responsibility to assess the roads which lie ahead and those over which we have traveled. And if the future road looms ominous or unpromising, and the roads back uninviting, then we need to gather our resolve and, carrying only the necessary baggage, step off that road into a new direction. If the choice is also unpalatable, without embarrassment, we must be ready to change that as well." Maya Angelou, an influence on me and perhaps on some of you, even on our nation, as through her poetry, through her words, through her gracious person, she enables people to see life in perhaps a different way. In true Baptist fashion, she enables us to assess and then turn in a different direction. There's another group of harbingers of the coming Christ that I want to talk about. I saw one in Oceanside at the market just the other day. The people who return at this time of year, whether the weather is good or bad, they stand near their collection kettles in front of markets, downtown, and at malls. The men and the women and some children of the Salvation Army. They ring a bell for donations to assure help for the Christmas season, for those who have little, so that they can experience themselves the goodwill of Christmas. As we toss our coins or place our dollars into the Salvation Army containers, it might be well this year to re-examine why we give. What's the motivation for doing so? And we might recall the very act that was the igniting spark in the life of St. Francis Assisi. St. Francis, as we remember, was the son of a wealthy merchant in Italy and a sensual sinner in his youth. Exceedingly proud of his rich lifestyle, he said that when he would ride by a leper, the most loathsome outcast of the then 13th century, he would fling a coin in the person's direction in a rather weak attempt at generosity and then move on. After his conversion, Francis referred to such incidents by saying, "When I was in sin, I couldn't stand the sight of a leper." And then he describes his life change by saying, "The Lord led me amongst them." It was not just the desecrating waste of money or womanizing that Francis recalled when he spoke about being in sin. It was his former attitude of looking down on the leper and those less fortunate. The conversion of Francis started when he recognized the dignity of the least and the lost in terms of the babe of Bethlehem. He who emptied himself, as Paul says in Philippians 2, of all his wealth, of all his potential position, and reached out in ministry to the poor and to the outcast. And so God bless the Elijahs, the Isaiahs, the John the Baptists, the Maya Angelos, and those of the Salvation Army. And might they be examples that prompt us to take another look at why we give. Do we do it in the spirit of him whose birth we now anticipate? The first words of Mark's gospel, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The first words of a gospel. The first words, perhaps, of our lives, and even the last verse of our lives. Mark called each of us in our own way to be an announcer of the Christ event. Christmas to Calvary to Easter. Last night I was reading a new book that Judy and I just got at Barnes & Noble, a book about Jack Kennedy by Chris Matthews. And in his introduction, he talks about biographies. And they are written because people want to know about a person. What was he or she like? What are you and I like? As people who gather together on a Sunday morning to experience the fellowship of being in Christ, who await his coming with anticipation as we announce one to the other, Christ Jesus is born. Amen.